Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump is demanding $230 million from his own Justice Department for past cases against him, including the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 election and the classified documents case.
We have numerous cases having to do with the fraud of the election, the 2020 election, and because of everything that we found out, I guess they owe me a lot of money.
It would be up to Trump's handpicked DOJ officials to defend against the president's claims. Late today, federal agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown. People detained, many people. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. Police say a man pardoned for his actions on January 6 is under arrest for allegedly threatening to kill House Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. New York State Police say 34-year-old Christopher Moynihan's charged with making a terroristic threat. This is ABC News. A big entertainment company is hinting that it might be open to a buyout. ABC's Sherry Preston reports.
Warner Brothers Discovery had wanted to split its holdings, including HBO, HBO Max, Warner Brothers TV, and Motion Picture Group, CNN, Discovery, and TNT into two separate companies, one focusing on streaming and the other on cable. Now the entertainment behemoth confirms it's gotten buyout offers and would be open to selling the entire company. Possible buyers are said to include Paramount, Comcast, and Netflix.
OpenAI is introducing its own web browser called Atlas to compete with Google Chrome, which has about 3 billion users. Atlas comes out as more users rely on AI for answers to internet searches. Google Chrome has already added AI features from Google's Gemini technology. Atlas launched Tuesday on Apple laptops and will later come to Microsoft's Windows, Apple's iOS phone operating system, and Google's Android phone system. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Tickle to be fired? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Badgers face number 6-ranked Oregon Saturday night. Wisconsin has never beat a ranked team since Luke Fickle took over as head coach 3 years ago. They're 0-9. Fickle says he can't be concerned about his future at Wisconsin.
It's not going to change the fact that we got to practice tomorrow. It's not going to change the fact of anything on Saturday. But I have not been told. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I understand, you know, if we don't meet expectations and we don't do the things we need to do, anything can happen.
Athletic director Chris McIntosh releasing a statement in support of the coach. College hoops. Former Marquette star Cam Jones arrested and jailed for leading police in Indianapolis on a brief chase on I-65 yesterday. Jones, drafted by the Pacers this summer, said he was late for practice. He was clocked at 90 miles an hour. In Milwaukee, the Bucks kick off the NBA season tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards. They're planning a welcome back tribute to Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allbaugh Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Early showers, otherwise cloudy, breezy, and colder night with lows in the upper 30s to 40. Mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow, a high only in the mid-40s. Sunny for Thursday, a high near 50. Temps continue to warm up through the rest of the week into the weekend. It's 42 right now.
Maggie Dawn.
Governor Evers has sounded the alarm. 700,000 Wisconsinites might lose emergency food assistance. We discuss with Amanda Martinez and William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. We are getting it done on a Tuesday night. Lots of fun here tonight. Great to have you with me. Jimmy Pardo is here. We will get back to Jim in just a minute. Coming up at 7:35, Rex Sykes will be here, one of the co-founders of, not the Million Man March, Conrad. Help me out again. 1 billion strong. No, 1 billion. It's 1 billion. What is it? I can't pronounce the city in the Middle East, and now I can't. You've got it, though. All right, fine, Conrad, I'll pull it up. 1 billion strong. No, it's not it. This is driving
Mission
me.
1 billion?
Mission 1 billion. They're going to tell you all about it. We've got Rocky Wagenhurst. He is a TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, and Rex Sykes is the co-founder. They have a great event going on tomorrow night in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that at 7:30. Two swell guys. Our question of the night is in honor of National Back to the Future Day, what era would you travel back to? And we've got to catch up on text. We'll do that in just a bit. Let's get back to our guest, Jimmy Pardo, one of my oldest friends in the biz, so to speak. And Jim, you have such a great, you know, I don't want to say it's stream of consciousness, but you're very off the cuff, very in the moment. You have a very unique style. You can go off on a tangent and spend 10 minutes there, and it's a thing of beauty to watch.
Thank you.
Who are your people would probably jump to the conclusion that it's Robin Williams or Jonathan Winters, and I'm sure you've been you know, kind of influenced by them. But who else? Who's influenced your comedy?
Well, I got to admit, Jonathan Winters might be a little bit before my my inspiration. You know, certainly a genius and so on. But Robin certainly is somebody. But you know, the ones that really are at the forefront of my mind are Richard Lewis is my hero.
Yeah.
He was stream of consciousness, same deal.
Yes.
Off the top of his head. He was also a great joke writer, but Richard would also just talk about his life or his day in that brilliant the brilliant way that he would. And I he's the guy that I feel like I'm most like. He's my hero. Paul Reiser is a hero. You know, Don Rickles, of course. Somebody once, I was overseas and I did a show, and somebody once said, it'll be very easy to compare Pardo to Rickles, but I think the best compliment is to say he's like Groucho.
And oh, wow.
I was like, you know what? I'll take that. I agree with that. I think Groucho was off the top of his head, and he would quote unquote insult somebody, but you even more so than Don, you knew he was kidding.
Right.
And so I'll take all these guys, you know, whatever, however you want to, you know,
absolutely.
I think the current crop of guys that are, you know, improvising and doing quote unquote crowd work that are getting all the acclaim, I don't think they're good at it. I think that there's a craft to this, and it infuriates me to see these guys that are getting Netflix specials, like they all crowd work. And then it's and it's really hackneyed, easy crowd work. And it's not all that special or clever.
It's interesting because it's all like on reels. It's like, watch this comedian shut this guy down. I'm like, oh, I got to see this. And I click it. And I'm like, that's so lame. That's just clickbait. You know, and it's like, I'm sorry. That's not, it's just too much of it out there.
Agreed.
You know what there's, I mean? Like, I don't know.
And there's a new trend of that where it's like everybody's afraid to put their material online. So they all put down their crowd work. And it's like, but you don't do crowd work. Why do you want that to be what you're known for if that's not what you do? Right. Like, it makes no sense to me. And also, like, you'll see times where a guy, you know, a comedian shuts down heckler and the heckler wins. It's like, why would you put this online?
Exactly. I know. It's maddening. I don't even click on them anymore. Now I just get a billion pictures of feet in my feed, which is always fun because I clicked on a really gross foot once.
So now you get all, is it a mixture of good and bad feet?
Some, but I'm clicking. I'm not even a foot guy, and I'm clicking on the good feet just to make sure they pop up more than the bad feet, if that makes sense.
You don't want a fungus foot. I get it.
Right. And Richard Lewis, I had the one of my first times like leaving the Midwest was to work in Florida, and I opened for him, and I remember a joke he did, and he said the babe got up to bat and pointed like, I'm going to hit a home run. That's and his joke was, that's like me saying, you know, I'm going to get an erection. And when I told this to the other comic, the comic closed his eyes and put his head down and just pointed. That made me laugh even more than with Richard Lewis because he loved it so much. It was so beautiful. But that's a great comp. Richard Lewis, I think.
I love him. I love him. And I miss him. He was, I don't want to say he was a friend, but we became very friendly towards the end of his life.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
And I was grateful for that because it's like, man, I can't believe I'm friends with the guy that I say is the reason I do stand up. That's pretty amazing.
You know, what's funny is I never saw him again after that, but he was so nice to me. And then I worked down there again with David Brenner. It was a big club. They brought in a lot of these big names and he brought me into his dressing room and just, I thought I was in trouble. And he was just picking my brain and talking to me.
Right.
Like, two of the biggest guys in comedy were so nice to me. That kind of ruined the rest of it. Because you meet guys that were headlining that hadn't even been on TV. And they were the biggest jerks in the world. And I'm like, why can't they all be like those guys?
I will say this, that when talking to Richard, while he was nice to you in Florida, there's a reason why you never saw him again. He did not care for you. And you came up a lot. I brought you up a lot.
If he had that strong of an opinion on an opener who had been doing stand-up a year and badmouthed me, I would even respect him more somehow.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'll take that. So let me ask you this, Jim. You've got this great podcast. And I love every once in a while people will send me a message or whatever. Hey, heard your name on Never Not Funny. I just love that. And I feel like I'm part of this thing that's been going on forever, which is such a successful and fun podcast. You got in on the ground floor, but what would you be doing if you hadn't done that? Would you be doing more stand-up? Would you have continued? Like, you're a really good host. You've done a lot of acting. Like, what would you have done?
I don't have a clue, Pete. You know what? I mean, I started the podcast in 2006 and then I got hired by Conan in 2009. So my life kind of became just in those lanes. You know, I was with Conan for 8 years, 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
And then the podcast is going on now 20 years. And so I don't know the answer to that because I kind of, I guess I'd be doing more. I'm happy with the amount of stand-up that I do these days. I do a nice sprinkling. I go out, I do one night. I do one show and one night in a city and I move on to the next city and I don't get sick of my own voice and I enjoy it. I would hate to think that I would be lugging luggage every Thursday to the airport to have to do it. So Pete, I'll say this. I ask myself that question all the time. And the answer is I don't know. And thank God I don't have to know.
Little gratitude. Absolutely. No, that's a great answer actually. And I appreciate the honesty. Have you been to the Soup Plantation recently?
Well, they all closed during the lockdown.
Oh, come on.
Because buffets were seen as something like, you know, you can't share the ladle.
Right.
And that. And, but I don't understand it. It's got a built-in sneeze guard. It's got the mask. The mask is already there for you.
What do they want?
I don't know. I think it was an excuse for them to go out of business. I don't know if they were doing well. Man, did I love the Soup Plantation.
I love that place. We would just sit there for hours. It was so much fun.
Who doesn't like salad and pizza slices?
We still laugh. We went to Shakey's once when we first moved there. And, you know, my wife was new to L.A., as was I, and you were showing us around and this great host helping us get used to the area. And we went to the Shakey's, to the buffet, and Mary sat with the plates while we went to get salad. And you said, will you please tell Mary she doesn't have to guard the plates?
But here's my takeaway from that story. First of all, we have fun. There's no question about that. B, you say I'm this great host that I'm showing you around town. I bring you to the chain restaurant Shakey's. We're in LA, and I bring you to get a corporate pizza. Is that a good host?
Let me take you to a place that's, it's a franchise, but it's a lot better than the one in Wisconsin or Chicago.
It was a good Shakey's.
It was a great Shakey's. They had soda.
The fried chicken was delicious.
Loved it.
Yeah, my wife hates the place, so we can't even. I can't even look at it when we drive past it. It's like, because if I look at it, I'm gonna go. My body will go, hey, what about Shakey's? And I know the answer, so I just gotta have little horse blinders on.
We had a lot of the kids' birthday parties there. It was fun, but I'm laughing because your wife, when you first got together with her, she was like, why does he do this? Why does he go to Beverly Hills? Why does he like Shakey's? What is he doing?
Yeah, but she still loved me and tolerated my nonsense. We've been together now 27 years, I think it is.
Oh, that's crazy.
Very grateful.
I want her back on the show, but I don't want to be a pest. So pass
that
along.
No, you're not a pest.
Please.
Ask her. I have.
I've emailed her and she's, keeps claiming it goes to her junk box, which is fine. No, I'm kidding. I would love to have her on and I will email her again, but I don't want I don't know. Hey, before we let you get out of here, Jim, you're a good binge watcher. You binge watching anything you could recommend?
You know what? Taskmaster is always great. You watch that on YouTube. The great, game show from England.
Oh yeah.
Hosted by Greg Davies, who I actually wrote a fan letter to. I wrote Greg Davies.
Really?
A fan letter saying, people here, Robin Williams once said that I had a quicker mind than him. Robin Williams said that to me.
Yeah, I remember that. That's so cool.
Honors. And I wrote Greg Davies to tell him, just so you know that this compliment doesn't come out of nowhere. Robin Williams told me I'm the funniest mind he's ever seen. I'm telling you, you're the fastest mind I've ever seen. So understand I'm complimenting you. And he wrote back a real nice email. It was very kind. So I love Taskmaster. And it's been months since it ended, and I'm kind of going through withdrawal about it.
Wow.
The Pit. I thought The Pit was the greatest thing I've seen on TV in ages.
A lot of people agree with you. Yeah,
I didn't care for it.
No, I watched the first episode. I'm not a huge medical drama guy. I just finished Task. I love a good cop show or a good...
Yeah, me too.
But, and my buddy Jamie is the bad guy on it. And he's great. And I just watched the finale. It was so good. But I have to go back to The Pit because I've heard so much good stuff about it.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I have never in my life... I'm a cop guy too. I'm currently watching Policewoman starring Angie Dickinson. Oh, nice. That's what I'm binging at the moment. I don't like medical shows, and somebody said The Pit is great. The first episode is like, oh man, well, I don't know, this isn't for me. But then, man, I was all in, and now I'm jonesing for when it comes back. It was really great.
All right, I'll definitely take another look. That's great. Please don't tell anyone I called Riyadh Ridya. I just go into these things where I see it once and it stays. I called it Parmesan cheese till I was in college, Jim, because my parents are the farthest thing from Italian there is.
I thought the word was catastrophe, not catastrophe. So, I once read somewhere, Pete, that if you mispronounce a word, it just means you haven't heard it. You've only read it. So you're an educated person. So I take whenever I mispronounce something, I remember that, and it makes me feel better about it.
I do because I don't watch I cannot watch Talking Heads anymore. I read all my news, but I have heard. I know what that word is. So I don't know what category that puts
Parmesan?
Me in.
Of course you know what that word is. You should have known what it is for years.
Parmesan. My parents still laugh. They tried to ruin me. hey, buddy, this is so much fun. You're the best.
My pleasure.
Yeah, always fun, Jim. Tell Danielle and Oliver hello, and let's talk soon, buddy.
Good luck with Rex Sykes. That's all I can say.
Will do.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Jim. So, Jimmy, I loved his answer. He would travel back to before Clint's circumcision. I don't even know how that affects Jim, but he seems to think that that would be a better time for him, which is not a bad answer. Rex Sykes is coming up with Rocky Wagenhurst. We're going to talk about Mission 1 Billion, a great event going on tomorrow. Rex is one of the co-founders of the organization. And Rocky Wagenhurst is a TV executive at the CW in Milwaukee. So we'll have that talk in just a few minutes. When we come back, we are going to read your texts. And am I forgetting something, Conrad? I feel like I'm forgetting something.
I don't think so.
Is Jimmy Pardo coming up yet?
I think so.
Was he just on the show? All right, we'll read your texts. Maybe we'll find a funny clip. We'll do something. It's a Tuesday night at Nightlight, folks. What could be better? I'm Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just too good to be true.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to Night Light. I am Pete Schwabba. It's great to have you with me. It is a Tuesday night here. It's a Tuesday night edition of Night Light. Oftentimes the best edition of Night Light throughout the course of the week. We're going to get caught up with your text in just a moment. Tonight's question is, what era would you travel back to? It is National Back to the Future Day. So that is our question. Be part of the show and let us know what you think or where you'd go. So I do these Night Light window pictures every night, and I go out to take a picture, and these two guys are trying to get in the building. I'm like, hey man, what gives? Ready to kick some ass, right?
Yeah, of course.
Kidding, they don't pay me that much money. I'm kidding, but I'm not gonna risk bodily harm. If someone's trying to get in the building, go ahead, it's all yours, guys. There's nothing in the till. We keep no cash here. No, they were very nice guys. They are running a fishing, this is what it is, and I did some research on this. It seems legit. Very nice, guys. They're looking for volunteers. It's International Teams Fishing, the 2025 Street Fishing World Championship. Street fishing.
What is street fishing?
I guess it's like playground basketball, but for fishing. Like you fish the streets, right? It says, see international anglers fishing along the banks of the Fox River in Green Bay, City of De Pere, Village of Alloway, and Village of Ashwaubenon. Cheer on your favorite nation, all catch and release. Now, I'm an inside guy, but even I know what that means. That means you catch the fish and you throw it back. Very humane. But you can find more information if you want at www.usangling.org. www.usangling.org. It was John Knight and Mike, I have to find Mike's last name, McNett. Nice guys. Good luck with the event, guys. They will be on our Nightlight fun window picture tonight. And are you a fisherman?
No.
Yeah, me either.
I can't remember the last time I went fishing.
I like this is not a pun either, but the angle, the street fishing world championship. I you know, I don't think I could ever watch fishing either, but...
Do you think we can make a run at it?
I don't know. Maybe with a winning attitude we could. Show up, bring our game face. We got a phone call?
Yeah, Ollie from the Northwoods.
All right. Ollie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Sound great tonight.
Well, thank you. Thanks for listening. What's on your mind?
Well, if I could go back to the future, I would pick 1946.
Okay.
And for one reason, because then I would be born before my oldest sister, and I would actually be the oldest sister. And believe me, it was no fun being the middle sister, and I could give them some of a taste of their own medicine.
You could boss them around.
Yep.
My wife is a middle child too, Ollie. So I've heard this my whole time with her. Like, she constantly is saying that there's a National Middle Child Day. I don't know if you know that, but you should celebrate that as well. And 46. That's when I would go. Maybe we could hit a gin joint together in a different era, Ollie. That would be fun.
That sounds good.
All right.
My sister used to. I had two older sisters, and they used to take me and my little sister, and they would say, "Oh, let's play fights," and they would get each. My older sister would take me to into one corner, and the other sister would take my younger sister into another corner. And then they'd say, "Okay, when we ring the bell, you girls come out fighting." And we were so stupid that we'd do it, and then they'd sit there and say, "Kick her, bite her, pull her hair."
Oh, my gosh. What in the heck was happening in the Northwoods household? That's great.
Well, my dad was in the Army then, and we did have lots of great great times traveling, and so it would have been wonderful to be the older sister during that time.
Well, I wish you luck in the next life, my friend. Great phone call. Thank you so much, Ollie, as always.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a great night. JB Thompson, watching the radio on the stream, says a concert full of nude people doesn't happen to you often. It does not. Maybe I'm running with the wrong crowd, because that was my comment to you earlier.
Yeah,
people,
I mean,
go
that's
to Woodstock, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by nude people.
It's a Saturday for me.
It's a Saturday. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm usually reading scripture and heading off to church then, but you guys do what you got to do. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says the 1970s, early on, the best music. We still play it on the radio. Muscle cars were top of the line. That's a great text. Thank you, Jim. Never had a muscle car. I always thought they'd be cool, though, like a Mustang or something. Steve from Florida, the 920. Conrad's dad says, the era I would love to travel back to is 1865, so I could meet my great-great-great-grandfather, Nicholas, when he bought the homestead farm in Ashford, Wisconsin. That would be Conrad's great-great-great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-great-grandfather. That's a lot of greats. And your dad just said that's a lot of greats.
You know, this is what I would extend that, Dad. All right, this is what you go back to visit him, but then you have him invent something that he doesn't know about yet.
Right.
So that we're just loaded.
Yeah.
With money.
You're like the farm Kennedys of Wisconsin.
We invent some farm product.
I can't imagine. I would not do well on a farm. I have allergies, and I don't like hay.
I only lived there until I was like five. So.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you for the family history there, Steve. Appreciate that. Let's see, what else? Am I missing anything? I think I'm caught up on text, right?
My mom texted in.
Where's your mom's text? I'll let you read that, because she's your mom.
Yeah, she said, love the music from Happy Days and the drive-in theaters, so I would think it would be a fun time to go back to, which I don't know what time that is, but...
It's the 50s. Happy Days was set in the 50s, filmed in the 70s, and I always thought that too, Paula. Actually, I remember watching that when I was growing up, and I thought that would be a cool, I don't know. That's a great answer. All right. It's not too late. Text us what era you would like to travel to. When we come back, we're going to talk about a really cool event put on by Mission 1 Billion. That is tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Co-founder Rex Sykes will be here, and TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, Rocky Wagonhurst, who's had a really cool history, will be here too. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. President Trump is demanding $230 million from his own Justice Department for past cases against him, including the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 election and the classified documents case.
We have numerous cases having to do with the fraud of the election, the 2020 election, and because of everything that we found out, I guess they owe me a lot of money.
It would be up to Trump's handpicked DOJ officials to defend against the president's claims. Late today, federal agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown. People detained, many people. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. Police say a man pardoned for his actions on January 6th is under arrest for allegedly threatening to kill House Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. New York State police say 34-year-old Christopher Moynihan's charged with making a terroristic threat. This is ABC News.
Will Fickell be fired? Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Badgers face number 6-ranked Oregon Saturday night. Wisconsin has never beat a ranked team since Luke Fickell took over as head coach 3 years ago. They're 0-9. Fickell says he can't be concerned about his future at Wisconsin.
It's not going to change the fact that we got to practice tomorrow. It's not going to change the fact of anything on Saturday. But I have not been told. I'm not worried about that. I mean, I understand, you know, if we don't meet expectations and we don't do the things we need to do, anything can happen.
Athletic director Chris McIntosh releasing a statement in support of the coach. College hoops. Former Marquette star Cam Jones arrested and jailed for leading police in Indianapolis on a brief chase on I-65 yesterday. Jones, drafted by the Pacers this summer, said he was late for practice. He was clocked at 90 miles an hour. In Milwaukee, the Bucks kick off the NBA season tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards. They're planning a welcome back tribute to Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped two F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast, but after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Early showers, otherwise cloudy, breezy, and colder night with lows in the upper 30s to 40. Mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow, a high only in the mid-40s. Sunny for Thursday, a high near 50. Temps continue to warm up through the rest of the week into the weekend. Currently, it's 41 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Charleston was once the region.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network. Our question of the night is, in honor of National Back to the Future Day. It's so cool that a movie has a national day.
I mean, it's just a classic.
It is a great film.
Yeah.
But our question is, what era would you travel to? I say the late 1940s after World War II, hitting the jazz joints, maybe hitting the road like Jack Kerouac. Conrad says the medieval times. I still have no idea why, but you know,
to be a knight,
to be a knight and a gesture.
That Moonlight was destined gesture. To be one.
That's right. All right. Let us know. You can still get in on the fun right now. We are going to turn our attention to two swell gents who are joining us over the stream to talk about a really cool event tomorrow night in Milwaukee. It's called the event. Well, the group is called Mission 1 Billion, a very ambitious undertaking by co-founder Rex Sykes. And the speaker at tomorrow night's event is Rocky Wagenhurst, a TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW. And he has had a really lengthy, interesting career, too. They both join me now over the stream. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Doing very well, Rocky. Nice to meet you. And Rex, good to see you again, buddy.
Great to see you, my friend.
Do you guys have an era you would travel? I know you'd rather travel tomorrow night to your really cool event, but if you could travel back, where would you go?
You want to go first, Rex? Go.
I'd go back to 2039.
I'm pretty sure that's forward, that's okay.
Well, wait, where are you?
I'm in 2025 at the moment. I thought we all were.
Oh, my God, you're so passé.
But you could travel all the way back around, like Fonzie got his bike to make the Earth go back, you know, or Superman.
I go back to the early 70s. I think they were gritty and wonderful and magnificent in Los Angeles. I think Rocky might agree. He's from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Late 60s, early 70s. You know, if you can be old enough not to get drafted in that late 60s. And
yeah,
you know, then that great. I think that was the greatest time for really television episodic stuff. You know, that movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I love it.
I wanted to be. I mean, that was my time. I was about 14. That was 1969. And if I was a little bit older, I would have loved the Brad Pitt's you know, where he played this stunt double,
Cliff Booth,
like a star. That's what I wanted to be. I thought that would be the greatest job in the world. Fall off horses and you know, do fights and you know, crack whips and punch people in the face, but don't really hurt them.
That's fantastic. Go ahead, Rex.
Oh, I just wanted to say, Bob Yerkes, the stuntman, was a good friend of mine. He had a stunt school. I never did it. A lot of my friends did, and I've regretted not doing Bob's program all that while. Most of the people who went through stunt programs became stunt people. I didn't want to be one at the time, but what a magnificent opportunity I passed up.
Well, magnificent opportunity for someone else. It sounds like I'm kind of with you there, Rex.
Well, the great thing was nice though, as you get older, you know, I'm kind of older now, when you learn how to fall. I mean, I was riding my bike the other day and going up and I kind of hit something and fell and I was surprised, nice roll, and came up and just broke my phone. But that was about it. So it comes in handy later in life.
A little tuck and roll off the Schwinn Varsity on PCH.
Yeah, I did it.
Helps if you have knee pads and elbow pads. But
absolutely. Well, it's great to have you guys here. So let's talk about this. Rex, you reached out to me a couple weeks ago. It sounds like a really fun event. It sounds like a very interesting group. Before we talk about the event, tell us how this group came to be and what exactly your mission is with.
Well, thanks for asking, Pete. Yeah. And you know, I love you, so I appreciate you having us on.
My pleasure.
Mission 1 Billion was the brainchild of Dan Brisgell, who is my co-founder, co-partner. He and I had very similar goals, and that was to create essentially a program, a working progress, a platform that would allow people. And I think, by the way, Mission 1 Billion is too small. I think we could reach Mission all billions. You know, the point is, if you remember Hands Across America, all you had to do was just make sure that you didn't break the chain, and you could stretch people all the way across the country. We can do that with everybody in the world if we wanted to. The Mission 1 Billion, the brilliant part of it was, for both of us, was we wanted an educational platform that would help support filmmakers anywhere in the world and help them produce their projects, market their projects, distribute the projects, and make money in doing so. And we wanted to do that in Wisconsin. Now that the incentives are coming in, we wanted to support filmmakers who are within the state who don't necessarily benefit from the incentives. But we applaud the incentives. We celebrate the incentives. And we're glad that they're here. What Dan had added to the whole mix that said, I'm in, was he said, I want to give half of the, I want to give a portion of the proceeds to charity for children in need. And I went, this is absolutely amazing. Not only are we doing the work that we love, but we're adding to benefiting other people. So Mission 1 Billion is about supporting filmmakers in their endeavors, helping them to profit, and also give money to charity.
That's the voice of Rex Sykes. He is one of the co-founders of Mission 1 Billion. And
we're a nonprofit.
And a nonprofit. And you can catch his movie beat on YouTube. He likes to talk movies. Rocky Wagenhurst is also here. He is a TV executive in Milwaukee at the CW, a vice president and general manager of the CW network. Rocky, how did you end up in Milwaukee? Are you digging it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here almost 2.5 years now, and I'm one of those TV guys. You know, I've moved all over. I started in 84, you know, in television, then moved from Sacramento, grew up in Los Angeles, started my career as a TV guy, you know, as a account exec in Sacramento, went to Denver, went back to L.A. for a while, then went back out. I've been to Bozeman. I was in Baltimore for a lot of years, working at the CBS O&O. I worked for Comcast, UPN. Always love this kind of the second, third stations in the market because it's a lot more fun, you know, than like getting that football team that's, you know, it's five or six away from the Super Bowl. It makes it a little bit more fun. And my wife's was an anchor, you know, she's done it since she was 17 and she's retired now. And so we're at that point where the kids are away. And, I knew the Sinclair folks that own the stations, out here, CW, 18 and my 24. And they said, you know, if you still want to work, I mean, if you want to go out there and a couple things, see what you can do. And came out and, you know, started to add local programming. Cause I think that's really the thing that I think is so important for broadcasters, especially in, you know, the affiliates, you know, we get the network stuff, but you know, really it's the community and what we serve. And I've really enjoyed Milwaukee and, you know, I've been a Green Bay Packer fan since the 60s. I mean, how could you be a football fan and not, you know, to me, that's like Canton up there. You know, I mean, I would rather go there and see that stadium than go see the in Canton. But, you know, and the Brewers, you know, I admit I'm a Los Angeles diehard guy, you know, Dodgers, I can't, you know, they're not quite the Dodgers I grew up watching, but, you know, they're pretty fantastic guys. And Brewers, I always say, guys, it takes a long time. You know, you almost got it. It takes a while to get used to doing it. The Dodgers go and they usually don't win. So, we'll still see what happens, you know, so it's really been great, you know, and then the Bucks, I guess they start tomorrow night. So we got that going. But I really enjoyed living in Milwaukee and the audience. And we've kind of grown this two stations and added a lot of high school sports and some local shows, bowling shows. We have a NASCAR local show that we're on the air. We run Bill Michaels sports show once a week. We have a local wrestling show. So anything that's going to get local, so the folks in Milwaukee, it's something that's unique to them instead of watching just all the network stuff and game shows and stuff. So really have enjoyed it, though. Really, my time here so far has been great.
That's great. So I'm sure you're excited about tomorrow night. What is tomorrow night going to be like, you guys? Like, what can, if people do want to go, what can they expect, and how can they get more information?
Well, if I want to go before Rocky, you know, here's the cool thing. We did our first charity event in August where we gave money to Make-A-Wish Children. And so that was a kickoff event. And every month we did 4 or 5 weekly meetings, and then we are starting our monthly meetings. And last month we had Michael Seibel. He's a director. Most of his movies are between X amount of dollars and $20 million. He's done about a dozen movies, local as well as in Hollywood and in India and all over the world. And about 400 TV shows, both as a director and a DP. And And Rocky and Michael are alumnus from UCLA, and they go back a long way. Michael is from Wisconsin. He was born in, or he lived in Wausau for a while and then moved to the Appleton area where he is now. Like he, I go back to my home in LA and also in Wisconsin. So I'm not bi-coastal, but nearly bi-coastal. I'm by something, but I don't know.
Lake Michigan counts. Come on.
But Lake Michigan, LA. But Rocky, I got to meet Rocky through Michael, and I'm so thrilled to have Rocky, because Rocky's not only an actor and a filmmaker and a media visionary, and he knows about AI, and he's a studio executive and television executive, but he brings such a wealth of experience and practical application information to each of us that we, tomorrow night, October 22nd, Wednesday, at Schmitty's Bar and Grill in Brookfield, Wisconsin, on Lisbon Avenue, if you want to look it up, and it's open to the public. Mission 1 Billion is an educational arm. We do workshops, seminars that are paid for. You know, people sign up, classes. I teach acting and other things. But we also have open to the public and free events. And Rocky has been gracious enough to say that he would speak tomorrow night to the public who shows up and to answer their questions about how to navigate a career. And I'll let him tell you more about that. But I'm thrilled because Rocky's just an amazing guy. I've gotten to know Rocky, and I love him. So I'm thrilled that we get to have him speak, and I hope it's the first of many times. But so, Rocky, you take it away.
Yeah, Rocky, what do you teach? What do you tell people? Like, let's say all these people who don't know the first thing about this business, whether it's behind the scenes, in front of the camera, whatever. How do you even start with them?
Well, you know, it's, I mean, I laugh, you know, because Rex, I was really lucky. Michael Seibel, I was my fraternity brother at UCLA, really, really talented guy. We had another fraternity brother, Tim Moore, who been an executive producer with Clint Eastwood, I think, from every movie he did. He was also the executive producer on that famous Patrick Swayze cult film. What's the
Roadhouse?
Roadhouse. Yeah.
I was hoping you'd say Roadhouse.
Yeah. Oh, it's the greatest.
Good call, Pete. Good
you know,
call.
The greatest film. You know, any, you know, I always, you know, those are the kind of things that nobody went and saw when it came out, but it just, you know, kind of built its own audience. And so we had a lot of talented guys. And you know, we UCLA, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, Woodland Hills in the 60s. And, you know, the television movie business was just kind of like what people did. You know, there was no walls up and people, you know, the big, big movie stars we didn't see, but television actors would be living up the street, you know, and it was like regular jobs. You could walk to studios. I went to UCLA thinking I was going to be a lawyer. And I guess it was my junior year. I wanted to be a litigator. So somebody said, well, take an acting class, because that way you get up and defend the world or whoever you're going to defend. And so I did that and really kind of liked it. And I got cast in a couple of plays and started doing stuff. I got a commercial agent, did some soap. I mean, it's kind of like, boy, this is $500 a day is better than going to school today. But I did end up graduating, so my parents were really proud of me for doing that. But really what started me on this whole thing is I became a tour guide at Universal Studios back in the late 70s.
I saw that in your bio. Let's pick up right there. We got to do a really short break. And you did it the smart way, Rocky. I went to law school to become an actor, and that didn't work out at all. So I think you were on the right track. Hey, Rex Sykes is here and Rocky Wagenhurst, and we're talking about a really cool event they have going on tomorrow night with Mission 1 Billion. We'll tell you more about it after this very short, very short break, folks. We're in the home stretch here. You've waited this long. Don't go anywhere. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. Boy, it's been a fun show. We got a few minutes left here. From the 818, Bridget says, the 1950s seems like a fun time. Music, clothes, identity. Couldn't agree more, Bridget, from the 818. Great text. Thank you. We have a couple more minutes with our guests, Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagenhurst. Rocky, did you have to be an actor with a name like that?
Well, I really had no choice. I think that's kind of, you know. But Rocky Wagenhurst always sounded like there was. If you went in for audition, it sounded like there was a lot of us that would be coming in. You know,
right, like pulling in the...
You know, it's like we're going to come in juggling or something. But just a little bit, just because I know we want to promote tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, okay, great, you're a tour guide. What are we? Okay, if we want to get a tour guide job. But really, what I really talk about is how to be able to have both. You know, everybody always thinks, especially when they're young, well, I got to do it all, be all creative and do movies and be TV and be an actor for the rest of my life, or, you know, or I can't, you know, and yeah. Really, I learned long ago, you can do as much or as little as you want. You can do both. You can have a life, you can have kids, you can, you know, get married, have a house, have a mortgage, have a real life job, but work it so you can still do stuff. And then the more stuff you can do, then less of the other job you have to do. It's not all or nothing. And I've been able to do that all my life. I've got to be in movies, TV. I've done a radio show. I've done everything and still had a really nice career along the way. You know, I think I've driven my wife a little crazy and she still likes me after 37 years. But it's really, and that's what we'll talk about tomorrow, about, you know, I'm not going to teach you how to act or how to do any. I can help you teach you how to get a job, how to go about it, those kind of things in just about anything. And it's pretty applicable to everything. I always told Rex, I'm kind of like, Forrest Gump. I've met all these great people. I've been on sets with Spielberg and things, right? But I just never got, the Gump shrimp.
Yeah.
Right? Became a billionaire. Obviously, I'm still working, but that's okay. It's a lot of stuff, and I love more what people want to come and ask me about or tell me about them, because I already know what I know. But I'd love to hear people come out and share their ideas, and really, it's more of that than it's going to be like, hey, let me talk for an hour and everybody take notes. That's not the way it works.
Well, you've got a guy here who's an open book, folks. So if you are listening and you're in the Milwaukee area, check this out tonight, because Rocky is very approachable. I know Rex is very approachable. We got a text to Rocky that said, Rocky, you like Ohtani. How can you not, right? I mean, killed our Brewers.
I don't care who you're rooting for. That was something
it was unbelievable.
Otherworldly on Friday night, So
I love that you started as a tour guide too. We lived a mile from Universal for almost 15 years, and I took the kids there all the time. It was closer than Disneyland. Such a fun thing, and that's such a great story that you started there. Rex,
we'll talk about that tomorrow night if anybody wants to. But it was one of the greatest things. I got to talk, believe it or not, for hours and hours, and they paid me. It was amazing.
That tour is so much fun too. If you're a movie nut, I highly recommend it. Rex, you want to put a bow on tomorrow night before we let you guys go?
Yeah, I'm so thrilled that Rocky's going to talk. He is a wealth of information, and he does deliver on what he says he's going to do. So I can't be more grateful to him and to you, because you do a great show and you're having us on, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're my friend. And I would love you to come and talk to our group too sometime when you're not doing your show. We're going to have to figure out how to make that happen. But tomorrow
I'm going to need airfare. I'm going to need a per diem.
And we'll have the limo pick you up, and we'll have the fluffers and the whole thing.
What is a flight from Green Bay to Milwaukee? I don't know.
You need the rider, man. That's what it's all about.
But it is October 22nd. It's a Wednesday night, 7 p.m. It is called Schmitty's Bar and Grill. It is on 16755 West Lisbon Road in Brookfield, Wisconsin. It is open to the public. It is free. We say 7 o'clock, but we say come early, stay late. They got a great deal. Buy a $20 pizza and get a free pitcher or beer. So, a beer or soda, whatever you want, as a Wednesday night special for us. So, and we've got Rocky Wagenhurst, who's going to speak to us. And we've got a great group of people. What we've done is we have this educational component, which is like having speakers like Rocky, Michael, and others. We've got someone from SAG coming in either the end of this year or the first quarter of next year to talk about what it means to make your movie SAG and how you can do that. But we also have projects that we do. We do collaborative projects. We just did a small commercial for some people that we put together, a funny thing. So it's a very active group. It's a networking group. And I encourage everyone to come on out who can hear this, who sees this, and look us up. We're Mission 1 Billion. It's a private group on Facebook. It's a public group on LinkedIn. But I've told you everything you need to know to be there tomorrow if you're in the Wisconsin area or the Chicago area and you want to come up and join us. Absolutely open to the public. This event is free. We've got Rocky Wagenhurst.
Definitely buy Rocky a pitcher of beer and loosen him up, and he'll tell you all the secrets about show business.
I will tell you everything. And I'll stay until there's nobody left. I love chatting.
That's great.
I don't do it that often. So anybody wants to come, I can't wait to see him and talk to him, and I'll tell him everything I know.
Rocky, it's been great meeting you. Rex, great seeing you again, buddy. Good luck with the event tomorrow, guys. Thanks for spending some time with us here, and hopefully we can help you get some butts in the seats.
Can I say one more thing?
Yep.
Actually, Rocky is my guest on Rex Sykes Movie Beat. We recorded an episode. We're launching it now. We didn't want to do it too premature to the event, but so if people want to subscribe, it's free to subscribe to Rex Sykes Movie Beat on Spotify. They can also hear Rocky there.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great night and have a lot of fun tomorrow night. Sounds like a blast.
Thank you, Pete. All right.
Rocky Wagenhurst and Rex Sykes, go to the event tomorrow. Are you going to go, Con? They're not giving you airfare. You got to get yourself there, which is kind of a jip, but whatever.
Yeah, I wish I could make it. But, we'd have to find a different producer in maybe.
No, we got someone lined up. No. No, it sounds like a lot of fun. You already know everything, too. What are you going to learn? I mean, you know your job, but if you went, you'd probably learn like a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah. Hey, we got a Steady Eddie text. We got to wrap up the show.
Do I have time to read it? I'm going to go fast. Steady Eddie. Anyone who says a name or word should be pronounced in only one way lacks creativity and imagination. People say two of Albert Einstein's greatest attributes were his imagination and creativity. Ergo, you, Pete, may just be the next Einstein. I agree, Eddie. Thank you, sir. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to my guests. Thanks to all the techs. Thanks to Jimmy Pardo. Have a great night, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Tomorrow, the government shutdown will be the longest in U.S. history. President Trump meeting with Senate Republicans at the White House today, blaming Democrats and calling the shutdown reckless and completely unnecessary. And after the Democratic leaders in the House and Senate offered to meet with Trump to negotiate on the government shutdown,
I'd love to meet with them. I just want them to open up the country first.
The acting administrator of the food assistance program, SNAP, saying it will run out of money by the end of the month. President Trump is suing his own Justice Department for $230 million. Mr. Trump is seeking damages for past investigations, including the Russian election interference case and the classified documents case. Vice President J.D. Vance touched down in Israel today, conveying optimism about the fragile ceasefire with Hamas. Two more bodies were returned today. 13 still do need to be recovered. Hamas says the destruction in Gaza is the reason for the delay. This is ABC News.